Welcome to Uncurated Podcast, a show for visual artists and designers to share their experiences and learn from each other. I am your host, Kelly. On this podcast, you can expect interviews from extremely talented visual artists, designers, as well as engaging conversations about art and the creative industry, especially in Africa. Today's interview is a Kenyan visual artist with a very distinct style that immediately draws your attention, makes you stop and think. Enjoy. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So my name is Alison Kelly, and I'm an art enthusiast. I've been interviewing artists for a while. So do you mind introducing yourself and how you'd like to be referred to as an artist?
I'm Alan Simba, and it's a pleasure to be here. I'm a visual artist. I think that's as simple as it gets.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you for agreeing to do the interview.
By all means, it's a good thing for people to understand what I do and how I do it. So thank you as well.
Yeah. So are you a self-taught artist, or did you go to some kind of training or anything?
I think it's a mix of both. It's a hybrid of both being self-taught and having a bit of instruction. Because I did 4 years of art and design in high school, but then it's so basic because most of it is theory at the time. But what I do now and how I look at my art right now is self-taught. So most of it has been self-taught. In high school, it was just the basic introductions to, you know, art and design, fine art, but then no one tells you what really happens if you decide you're going to be an artist. Professionally speaking.
Yeah, I understand that.
If you've interviewed a lot of artists, then I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I've also been to art school actually, but uni.
Okay. Or uni, yeah. I plan to go back before the end of the year so that I can get something out of that as well. It's part of my curiosity. So I'm thinking of going back to school and get that academic side down too. So yeah, I think it's a good choice.
Cool. Did you have any mentors?
Yes, I did. I've had a couple of mentors since I started, because I remember I've been doing art for a very long time, since I was a child, but professionally speaking, I started in 2015. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I was 2014. Yes, that was after high school. But at the time, I wasn't really good, and I had not, I hadn't found my style yet. So when I seriously started to do art, that was in 2018. That was when I found the current style I'm working in. Speaking about mentors, I've had a couple of mentors, because I believe it can't be one mentor throughout. You get a mentor, you grow, you maybe outgrow their ideas as well. You change, you transform, and as you change, you need to also find mentors who understand where you're trying to go. And I think to answer your question, yes, I have mentors, and I still do.
Okay. I was actually expecting you to name drop.
Or name dropping, okay. I had Jim Nakimani. He used to paint for Java. He still does, I think, for a time. Mm-hmm. Then after a while, I did a bit of a stint with Kyoko. Then I've had a mentor as well, but not an artistic mentor, more on the business side. Now I can go through the business, you know, going about the business and how I can handle myself professionally. His name is Mr. Mudachi. Big up to that man. I think he's personally responsible for what I've become today.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Thank Not you. A lot of artists have the mentors that focus on the financial side. So that's really cool. Yeah. So personally, I'm a huge fan of your work, mostly because...
Thank you.
Mostly because your work always just leaves an impression. There's no way you're going to see Alan's work and you won't feel some type of way, whether it's good or bad or whatever. It always leaves like an impression. So that's why I'm so into it. Like, I really enjoy some of the work you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. One of my biggest philosophies is that as an artist, you'd rather be hated than forgotten. So the impression matters as well.
Okay. Speaking of impressions, I want to read something I got from your feed on Instagram.
There's some I'm very expressive there. So
there's some two very interesting screenshots that I saw.
Okay.
So the first one goes, I have been shown your work and my church and I are convinced that you are doing the devil's work through your art. We understand that your symbols mean we will pray and fast for you. It is never too late to be free, Alan. And to, you know, oppose whatever. There's another one. Hi, Alan. I went to your show at Kioko and thoroughly enjoyed being right in the middle of your work. I'd like to thank you personally because I'm going through a depression period and the pieces were a good distraction from my own thoughts. I'm sure you know that DM.
Yeah. Screenshots will finish us.
So my question is, please tell us about your DM.
Okay. I get a lot of such messages, you know, from random people, and I think it shows that it goes to show that art such as mine will be received differently by different people. Because, for example, the first one, I don't know who it was. I have no idea who would send me such a thing, because I never told anyone to really come and look at my paintings the way they did. But you know, it's part of the process, because if you're exhibiting art, then that's technically an invitation to public participation, and I can't really tell anyone what to feel about my work. So it was a personal opinion. It made me laugh really hard, because at the time I was really broke. So I told a friend about that DM, and he was asking what cult I was in that isn't paying me any money. if I was in a cult, I'd probably be, you know, super rich. But so it's expected. I mean, by the time I was deciding to get into art, I'd already known that detractors come in all shapes and sizes. So I wasn't really fazed. I found it funny, because it's just a reaction among many. So you can't really control it. The second one, it's someone I met at the show, and I had no idea that my work had such an impact on them, because the pieces I put at that show in 2019 were very personal pieces, and so I had no idea they'd be so impactful to someone else. But then thing is, you find that just because something is personal to me doesn't mean it won't be what someone else is going through. It's never, no man is an island. So if I talk about something, then you probably will understand it. And that's why people understand some bits and pieces of my work.
Yeah. That went deep. But yeah, I found that so interesting. And the fact that you even posted it on your feed just brings your feed to life. You know, we're interacting with people who are interacting with
it's true.
Behind the scenes and everything.
Yeah, true.
I hope other artists will also learn from that. Like, we also want to hear what your audience is saying to you as well, you know.
Yeah. That's I think that's a big part of the process. So kind of have to share it.
Yeah. So I wanted now to ask about your work. The words that you usually use, because most of your pieces have, you know, typography and words in them. So are they from the literature that you usually read from your research, or it's how you're feeling at the moment when you're creating the pieces, or is it like the afterthought when you're done? Like, what's the relationship between the words and the work?
It depends on a lot of things, but on this painting, it could be from the research I'm doing. The next one, it could be what I'm feeling, and sometimes it's just a fluke. So it goes with I just roll with the punches. But for most part, I like to have words that mean something from the very beginning. And so most of the times they come from the literature I read. I read a lot of things, I read everything. And so a lot of that is seen in what I do. So most of it is from the books I read.
Okay. That's good to know. I also wanted to ask about the pace. There's a very distinct pace that keeps recurring in your work. It's actually right behind you right now.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to ask, is it a man? One, why is he always wearing a hat? Two, and there's also the eye that you always kind of like replace with his eye. It's either that one. Yeah. So tell us about those.
That one.
Yeah, that eye. And the man as, I mean, the face. I don't know if it's a man.
The face, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How it started, it was, I think I'm not so sure. It's been quite a long time, but I'm not yet sure whether I found it or it found me, but I just started painting on a plain canvas and I just felt like this is how I want to paint these faces. I mean, they have changed. They have definitely changed over time because there's different, my paintings from 2018 and now, I feel the faces have developed greatly. And the reason I paint them like that is that I wanted, when I was starting out, what I was trying was, can I paint a face in one line? That's how it started. It was just an idea. Can I paint a face in one line? Just one gapless line, just going round and round. And I love angles. I prefer sharp angles to rounded lines. So it all started like that. And they've become more angular. But then looking back, I find that they resemble something I used to do a long time ago. There was a time I had this, I used to paint masks. So I went to a client's place and saw a mask from Benin, and it looks exactly like my faces, you know, or my faces look exactly like the mask. So I don't know, I think it's one way or another, I probably got lucky. In as much as I wanted to think about it and really try and find something unique and find something fresh, find a new way to represent my work, because I was tired of doing the masks. I felt like I was only making art of art. So I had to move on to something else. And so that's where it came in. I think it's a lot of influences as to why I paint them like that. There's so many things that have happened to lead me to that point, but mostly it's that, I think, because I love abstract work, but I still love human faces, so I needed to find a way in between, and I think I found it.
And the eye?
Oh, the eye, for me, represents seeing. Like really seeing, not just looking, because there's a difference between looking and seeing, but it means really seeing things for what they are, because most times we think reality is what it is, because my work, first of all, revolves a lot around what reality is. And so the eye represents seeing reality for what it really is, because are we preferring it to be this way, or is it what it is? I try to live by what I paint. So I usually ask myself, is this a fact, or is it what I believe? Because, you know, belief and knowing are two different things. And I've got to a point where I'd rather know than believe. So the eye simply for me represents that, the difference between knowing and believing.
Wow. Yes. Okay. What I've concluded from that is when you're going to see Alan's work, don't be in a hurry. Just, you know, take your time.
Yes, yes.
Take your sweet time.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Because I remember sometime, I think in 2018, I was at a show and I had a section, and my section was a bit packed throughout because people had to sit and really study the paintings and really look at them before moving on, as opposed to a painting that can just have your attention for a few seconds and you're moving on. I like my paintings to kind of draw my audience in. So that's, I'm glad it's working.
Yeah, it's definitely working. is there a specific way that you would want your audience to consume your work? Like, for example, when you're creating a piece, do you have some kind of intention that you would want your viewer to see, or do you just open it to interpretation and whatever that person chooses to see is what it will be for them?
I like to make it a little bit of both, because sometimes I'm painting something and I have this intention, but after I'm done, I see something that I had not seen myself. So there's a part of my paintings that I like to be very conscious and I like people to see what I'm trying to say, but then there's a bit of the painting that's left to the viewer to decide what it means for them, because some of the symbolism I use, and my work is full of symbolism, can be left to interpretation. So I like to have a painting that kind of has the best of both worlds, basically. So there's an unconscious side and there's a conscious side, you know, so that you can decide, but then there's this part of the painting that is me talking about something. So that's how I do it. I like to have a bit of both in the paintings.
Okay. So let's say I've never been into an exhibition before and I see your work for the first time. What how would you be able to guide me to how do I say, I'm going to use the word ingest your work,
okay,
because
interact with a lot of people who generally just don't get the art world at all, you know. And
okay, yeah,
they
yeah.
listen to me talking about art and they're like, what are you even talking about? I can't even see what you're seeing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So how would you be able to guide someone like that into your world, basically, like in the simplest way possible?
In the simplest way possible. So I think what I'd tell someone who's never been to an exhibition is just take your time, as you've put it. Just take your time. There's nothing more to it, because my work is a very slow, let me call it a slow cook. It's a very slowly heating process. So you need to stop and think. If you come in with apprehension, you come in with a closed mind, then you miss the point entirely. But then the fact that I like my work to be a couple of pieces in the same place, so that my viewers can see the bigger picture. It's easier to understand my work after you've seen a couple of them, as opposed to seeing one piece for the first time. So for me, it's basically in the patterns. I have a lot of pattern in my pieces. You'll go from one piece to the next, and you can see they all tell the same story. And so that's what I try. My paintings from 2018 and my paintings now, you can find there's a line connecting all of them, because they're all talking about the same thing. So I think what I'd tell anyone who's never seen my work before is just stop and think. Nothing more, nothing less.
Well, well said. yeah, I feel like that's a good answer. That's a simple way of just telling someone who's never seen art before. I feel like the people who tend to shy away from art are people who just move so fast. Like, they're on to the next thing, you know. They don't take time to be present at the moment. So I think that's a good answer. Have you worked with art agents before, like in Kenya or whichever country?
No, I haven't. I don't know if I have any good reason for that, other than I just don't know if I'm ready yet. But I think it's a good option for anyone who can. I think it's a really good option. I just haven't got to the point where I am working with an agent, though I'm already talking to some people and trying to find out how it goes before, you know, I go in, trying to learn about the industry as well. Because in as much as we like it to go smooth, there's crooks out here. So I need to also know the business well and understand the art world properly before I get into working with an agent, you know, just being careful.
Okay. What's your favorite piece or collection of pieces that you've created so far?
My favorite piece isn't even my favorite series. I don't think it's even made yet, because it's still, I can see it in my head and I think it's going to be so cool. But it's not yet physical, so I don't even know if I can say. But the one that has got most traction so far, I don't think I have a favorite really, because when I make a piece, then the next minute I'm already on to another piece and another one, so it's always an ongoing process. Because I think that sometimes if an artist chooses a painting that kind of becomes their favorite, then you can get fixated onto that painting and always copying from that painting. And I feel like we need to move on from what we've done. So my favorite piece isn't done yet, but I think the one behind me has set a standard for me. I did something and I keep looking at it and I just say this was a change for me. Like from this painting onwards, it's been so different. It's been so different. It's one of those, can I call it a hallmark painting? Because I feel like it paved the way for paintings since last year up to this point, because I finished it last year.
Wow, that's nice.
Thank you.
So we are almost at the end.
Okay.
You can plug yourself, like where can we find your work? If someone wanted to purchase or to communicate, how would they be able to reach you?
Right now I'm available through social media and it's Alan Simba everywhere. I don't have a tag name. I don't have any pseudonym, I think it's just me.
Very inspiring. I hope other artists learn from you.
I hope so too.
I'm done. Those are all the questions I have, unless you have something else you want to say.
No. I think I've said enough. What's left is just for everyone to see my work.
Cool. Thank you for coming. Okay. Thank you for agreeing to do the interview. And we hope to see you soon.
Okay.
Your work. See your work
soon. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, yeah. I think it's going to be sooner than I think as well. So we can only wait.
Yeah. Sawa. Thank you.
Thank you too.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. This has been Uncurated Podcast. We will be uploading a new episode every week. So follow our Instagram page, uncurated.podcast, for updates and more fun creative content. Enjoy the rest of your week.